Resort Epic Discovery Project in El Dorado County. Staff presentation.
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Cox and members of the board. My name is Bud Amorfini. I'm an engineering geologist working in the North Basin Regulatory Unit. And I'm here to present information on the Heavenly Epic Discovery Project. This is an informational item only. We won't ask any action to be taken at this time. However, it is a preview for May when we plan to bring an EIR and updated waste discharge requirements for your consideration. As part of my presentation, I have Andrew Stream here from Heavenly Mountain Resort. He's the Vice President of Planning and Governmental Operations. I also have a couple of folks from the Forest Service. We have Jeff Marcellus, who is now the new acting forest supervisor for the LT, or Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit, as well as Matt Dickinson here. And they're here to answer any questions. This is a combined effort by TRPA, the Water Board, and the Forest Service. So I was going to go through my slide here. I am going to talk about the summary of the project, some CEQA issues, comments we've received on the draft EIR and water quality issues. But first, I'd like to have Andrew come up. He's going to give you a slideshow and a little bit of a video to give you an idea of what the project's all about, what the mountain looks like, and what are the features of the Epic Discovery Project. So first, I'll have Andrew come up, and then I'll follow up with some more dry material on the project. So, Andrew, if you could go to, do you want the video?
Yes, going now.
Good afternoon, Madam Vice Chair, members of the board. I'm Andrew Strain with Heavenly. With me today in the audience is Pete Sontag, who's our COO at Heavenly. I wanted to come and be part of this. I'd like to give you just a little bit of a context for the site. Several years ago, when we were developing, I think it was the Heavenly Down Creek team, staff and members of the board at that time took a tour of Heavenly up through the gondola, which was relatively new at the time. This is it from this summer to give you just a context of what's happened since then. Back when we first toured it, it truly was a work in progress. And that was probably generous in terms of the facilities and the experience we had for the public, both residents and visitors. And we think we're on the path of creating a real destination there, particularly in the summertime, where, as you may be aware, there are more visitors who come to Lake Tahoe than there are in the wintertime. So we're happy to be part of that attraction, and we think we really do offer a unique experience for those who want to get on board the gondola. For many, it's the first time they've ever been on a lift of any sort. So typically, our summer visitor is not a skier or a snowboarder, so this will be their first opportunity on a lift. And also for many, with our partners, the Forest Service, this is the first opportunity they've had to actually experience National Forest Nights. So that is really a great set of new visitors for the region, for Heavenly, and for the Forest Service. This really is a video that describes the experience that's there today. And some of you may remember it from our tour that we took together several years ago. This is at the mid-station. The observation deck, it really is the place where people get oohs and ahs when they see for the first time the big picture view of the basin and the watershed 3,000 feet above the lake. And for many, they've never had this view before. They're not mountain climbers. And so we are really pleased with this facility. And it's also a place of learning. We're often asked to host out-of-town guests who come as part of partnerships and talk about the big picture. And this is where we take them, to see the big picture view, and this is a glimpse of what it looks like from up there if you haven't been there previously. The top of the gondola, we've always struggled to try and create a sense of there, and we're doing that right now. We have the first set of activities for summer visitors. The wintertime, it's very much a destination and a place to get to so you can get on up the mountain to ski or ride. We don't have any real problems with that. This is what's up there today. We've utilized our existing snow tubing, same tubes, same layout, same lift, and we put them on a temporary plastic surface and let kids experience tubing. The lodge is built and is a permanent structure there that you can see. It is a LEED certified building, which I believe was the first one in the basin on national forest lands, and we're very proud of that. So the lodge, as well as the other facilities that are up there, do a great service for us in terms of doubling up our efficiency winter and summer. This is just some highlights of what it is up there today, if you were to go up today. The first set of natural resource and forest-based activities are in place right now. And these are some video clips from them. The Discovery Forest Canopy Tour is what you're seeing here. It's a family level. It's something I can even be on with my lack of skill in up above tree line like that. And people have just really flocked to it. It's helped change the destination at the top of the gondola from passive to active. And we're really excited about that. People are now engaging with what's there. Hiking trails have been there and are still there. And we hope to make them better and to offer guided hikes, which I'll talk a little bit about as part of what is proposed. Scenic chairlift rides have been a traditional part of ski area summer operations throughout the country. And we offer those two up to the top, near the top of the mountain, where we have the Blue Streak zip line, which you see right here. Two lines, approximately 3,300 feet long. They drop about 525 vertical feet, pretty fast. And it gives people the thrill of soaring over the forest canopy. And you can see the view in the background. There's really nothing like it that people have. And this is, again, very popular. And something that guests who don't ski or ride, this is a great opportunity for them to experience the thrill of being up in an alpine environment in the forest, which we think, frankly, has very low impacts. A lot of the activities that I will describe for you briefly are off the ground and have no real land coverage or very minimal land coverage associated with them, because they're meant to take the viewer and make them an active participant, put them up in the trees and teach them, as well as let them have some fun while they're up there. One of the reasons I handed out to you the trail map that's in front of you is this has been made possible by a change in national policy by the Forest Service. Bud will talk a little bit about that, but I wanted you to see it. Do I have the control now?
Yeah, you can change slides now with the forward and back, forward and right.
Thank you. This is our source inspiration document that is the reason for change. 2011, the Congress passed and President Obama signed into law this bill, Summer Activities Recreational Opportunities Enhancement Act. It set the national policy for the Forest Service on public land ski resorts like Heavenly to accept and review proposed actions for developing non-skiing activities on those permitted lands. It is our intent to do that. We've made the application with the Forest Service, also with the TRPA. We have a couple of different jurisdictions going on, as you'll see, that you probably are already familiar with. And we took advantage of the change in policy from the Forest Service to now utilize these things. We think there are an awful lot of benefits that can accrue here. And we were anxious. We actually are one of the first companies or the first ski companies in the nation to take advantage of this. So we're on the path right now. This is already a set of activities that were permitted by our TRPA zoning, the plan area statements. The master plan from 2007 is being amended to show a wider distribution of these summer activities. Our current master plan that we have shows them clustered around the top of the gondola. You can follow that probably on the trail map where the top of the gondola exists. We're proposing to actually widen that out because we think there's some interesting sites for people to see on other parts of the mountain. The important point I'd like to make to you is we are not expanding the resort or the resort operating boundary. This proposal will utilize the existing facilities, the existing lifts, lodges, access roads, the gondola, to access the national forest that otherwise pretty much is a limited summer visitation right now. We think it gives kids and families a unique way to experience the mountains, particularly our summer visitors. I'll talk in just a few minutes about the opportunity we have to promote forest stewardship. This again lines up well, we think, with National Forest Service policy. Get kids off the couch, out of the front of the TV, and get them on the ground. And don't just do a virtual zip line, write a real zip line. This is our opportunity, we think, to do that. And that lines up very well with the Kids in the Woods initiatives that are promoted by the Obama administration. We are choosing to use the concept of learn through play to mix ecological principles with fun activities. And we are proposing a wide range of activities, from those that are very contemplative to those that are thrilling. And in parallel, that is, in a sense, what you can do today when you come to Heavenly as a winter visitor. You can have that entire range of experience, and those in between, too. The map is what I wanted you to have up close. It reads better, essentially, than a lot of our air photos, where we plotted lines showing things. The point I'd like to make is the gondola is the primary and really only access point to these activities. We think that lines up very well with the TRPA's regional plan, the new regional plan for the basin from 2012, that really encourages us to utilize the existing infrastructure that we've got. It locates the base access right out of the tourism and the South State Line core area. We use that in the wintertime. It actually intercepts vehicle trips. It will do that in the summertime as well. That's where the bed base is at the base of the gondola today. We're able to capture trips that otherwise might get in the car and drive somewhere around the basin to find the national forest. We think we've got a great captive market right there at the base of the gondola, so that's how we're going to get them up the hill and let them then see the different landscapes we have. As you all know from your own work and experience of being part of this region, it's a unique region. I was happy to hear the statistics about it a little earlier in Patty's report. Makes sense, the scale of it now. We're on the margin between the Sierra Nevada province and the Great Basin province. We're also on the margin between the two states. Happens to also be the boundary between two different national forests and two regions of the national forest. We've got great stories to tell up there about what it means to be in the Great Basin and what it means to be as part of the Sierra Nevada, so we're excited to do that. As I mentioned, we do intend to use the existing resort infrastructure that's developed really for the winter. And I want to be clear that winter is still our primary business. This is not intended in any way to overtake the amount of business or the amount of visits we expect in the wintertime. This will be secondary to that still. We're still a winter ski resort. We also will work closely with the Forest Service and their design specialists to make sure that the activities blend in. We want them to blend rather than contrast. We think that's what our visitor wants too. And as I mentioned previously, we intend to use those natural resources that we've got on site, the trees, the rocks, the slopes that we have, to really direct what activities we do. We think that's going to be a great draw for people. And we think we know how to do it right. We're very good in terms of our winter business, and we believe we will be absolutely successful in doing this properly in the summertime, too. This is a picture from the existing Blue Streak zip line. We do have a couple more of these planned. I'll show you in a minute why there are different ones planned. The ropes courses that traverse through the tree canopy, this is something that, you know, as we look to our other resorts in Colorado, we've got the big trees here to put people up into. We don't have these little tiny, small diameter forests. We've got big stuff, and people love to come and experience that. And so we propose to do more of put them up in those tree canopies and let them walk, take a connected rope above their head with a safety line and traverse through the tree canopies. Some will be guided, some will not be guided. We have the opportunity to do both. This is another picture of what that looks like. We have contracted for this first set of activities with a company we think is best in class in the United States. They're headquartered in Colorado, named Bonsai Designs. These are very sensitive individuals who come out and make sure that the tree and the setting is the draw. Don't screw it up. Enhance it for people to experience. And so we're absolutely confident that we can build and operate these activities up in the tree canopy with very minimal disturbance to the resources. That's the reason we're here for that. The canopy tours, as I mentioned, will be guided and will take you to different parts of the mountain. Because we're on the margin, the Sierra Meadows of the Sierra Nevada on the west side of the crest are different than what we find over on the Great Basin side on the east side of the crest. There are different landscapes that we've always thought, boy, this makes it a challenge, but you know what? This is going to turn it into a real asset, we think, for us. This is one of the centerpieces of it. For many of you may remember the old alpine slides that you'd always see on the slopes of ski areas in the summertime in lots of different places. This is modern technology's answer to the old alpine slide that used to be a concrete or fiberglass formed track that would go down the hill. You'd ride the chairlift up, be handed the sled, and off you go. This is a modern version of that that really simulates more the bobsled and those activities that you see as part of the Winter Olympics. Again, we think it's a great opportunity to get people on the mountain who would otherwise not come because they're not winter sports enthusiasts. That's just another view of it. This is one of the unique opportunities we think we have. I've got a better picture of it here I'll show you. This was developed for a forest, a different forest type. This is actually in the southeast. This is where they have designed a bicycle and a compartment to ride in that is attached to a cable and a gearing system above your head. And you can pedal along on a pretty flat profile through the tree canopy on a loop is what we proposed, so that you can get a feel for what it's like to be 30 feet up in the tree canopy as you pedal through it. We think this is going to be very popular. It's unique, and it's a unique opportunity to experience the forest. Mountain biking is something that we believe is appropriate to be part of this. It's listed in the federal act as one of those activities. We've actually proposed it on the Nevada side for the most part. That would drain to the Carson River, not drain to the Tahoe Basin side. We think that's a better site for it. It would be lift accessed. With, at the end of it, then, we have proposed, and it would look not unlike other mountain bike parks that you see in ski resorts today. It is oriented at the green and blue level of difficulty, similar to our ski slopes, if you were to use that analogy. This is intended for families and beginners. This isn't the Mad Max double black diamond bomb downhill park. That's not what this is. That's not our summer market, frankly. So we have proposed that on the Nevada side. And at the bottom of the bike park, we've worked closely with the Forest Service and the two states to figure out how to implement a free public trail that would come back down to the village, back down to Heavenly Village, that would be free and open to the public. It would also connect to the Rim Trail, which passes through the ski area today over on the Nevada side. We think that would really put us on the map. Today, Heavenly, if you talk to the bike community, it's kind of a black hole for bike connectivity. Hiking, too. If you're a local and you know where you're going, you can find your way around, but if you're a visitor or don't know the area well, you won't. You won't find your way to get from the Great Trails to the north to the Great Trails out to the west by coming through Heavenly, and we propose to try and remove that black hole condition and become a connection for it. We have a climbing wall today. We've actually gotten approval already from the TRPA and the Forest Service to improve that so that it looks like a large three-dimensional piece of granite with about 15 different self-belay points on it. We hope to implement that this summer. This is really, again, intended to introduce people to climbing. We're not going to be the El Capitan guys on the long wall that you know, you've heard about recently, but you never know where somebody young starts and ends up. So this is really an introduction is what it's intended to be. Adventure tours are something that we've had great success with in Colorado. This is a picture from the Beaver Creek tour at our resort in Colorado, where we will have guided tours for folks who aren't or can't do some of those activities that have specific physical requirements to do, to take a tour around the mountain and look at and see the views, enjoy the sights. One of the things that we thought was most appropriate to include in this is to build a fire lookout. We believe that fire and fire management is an important part of teaching people about the National Forest, and we think this will give us a great opportunity to do this. We have it sited in a place that looks back into High Meadows and looks down the crest of the Sierra to the south. And it's a stunning view that very few people see unless you're up there in the wintertime. It would be staffed and interpreted. What you can't see on this screen, but on the screen behind the board, 1% for the forest is an idea that we've essentially borrowed from Patagonia where we intend to work and have signed a partnership with the Nature Conservancy, an organization we feel is very good at what they do. And we intend to develop an environmental education program to wrap this all together with their help, help from the Forest Service, and also help from the League to Save Lake Tahoe. We would then donate 1% of all of the summer activity from the summer revenue activity to the Nature Conservancy for use in their own watershed conservation plans. And they work in the Truckee River watershed, as you probably know, and they also work in the Carson River watershed to the east, and we're a part of both of those watersheds. So we think there's a great connection there. This really just is a schematic that shows the path from the gondola down in the lower right in the Heavenly Village up to the mountain, and then how it would spread out from the gondola. I've got a better slide I'll show you here in just a second. One of the things we're excited about is everyone starts off in the gondola as a sightseer. We think that part of our, if we're successful, part of our mission is to encourage people not only to discover something about the natural environment they're in, but also to discover something about themselves and test themselves. Can they be the person who goes from just riding the gondola to riding the forest flyer to maybe trying the sky cycle, and from that maybe trying a canopy tour and ready to try one of the bigger canopy tours? We think everyone will begin in the pink color there, and we hope to move them into another group to really challenge themselves physically and mentally, to become discoverers, where there are a little more difficult things to do, adventurers, and finally on to the last or the outer rim up there of explorers, where they really are sort of at the edge. And we think that thrill is part of our concept. Discovery means two things to us, an epic discovery. Learn about your landscape and learn something about yourself and see if you can't be perhaps a little more adventurous than you thought you were. We do, because of living on the edge like we do at Heavenly, we've got fabulous stories to tell. And a big piece of us being successful will be to tell those stories. We intend to do that in a real dispersed, low-key arrangement, because a lot of our activities are guided. And it's that connection, that individual one-on-one connection with our guests that we're known for in the wintertime, we want to bring to the summer. Obviously, we believe there are some great benefits for the community included in this. We're going to add more year-round jobs here. We're going to be able to take some of our best winter part-time service people who deliver guest service day in and day out in the wintertime, train them for the activities, and have them do that for us in the summertime. We think that does good things for the community. We think that makes a slightly less transient community, as people can stay, put down roots, and begin to be part of the community on a year-round basis. The centrally located, I mentioned earlier, it really does line up well with the principles in the regional plan and the South Shore area and tourism core plans to utilize those activities around us. Obviously, there'll be additional economic activity from the direct and indirect spending. And there will be, based on the both spending types, there will be additional tax revenues that accrue to local governments. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm happy to answer any questions at the proper time.
Thank you. Amber, could you go back online?
Thank you, Andrew. I'm just going to go flip through these pretty quick here. This is redundant of what Andrew said. So the EPIC Discovery Project was developed as a result of the Ski Area Opportunity Enhancement Act. So their proposal is on the table today for us. And as I said, it includes new attractions. They're both inside and outside of California, as well as inside and outside of the Lake Tahoe Basin. Again, the three main activity centers are at the top of the gondola called Adventure Peak, the East Peak Basin, which is in Nevada, and the Sky Meadows Basin, which is in California. And the Sky Meadows Basin is also within the Heavenly Valley Creek watershed, which has some important water quality considerations as part of the project. And there is also some mountain-wide activities, as Andrew described. Again, these are just the list of the activities scheduled or proposed in California. I did want to add there's one additional item at the bottom. It's the emergency gondola snowcat evacuation route. So currently, there's no provision if the gondola totally goes south to get people off of there at a certain part of the mountain. So there's a plan to provide an alley for snowcats to operate over winter to evacuate people in case of emergency. It will require some tree removal, but no soil disturbance. This figure is difficult to read, but it does put in context where things are. And I'm going to point to this. I don't know which screen. Maybe this screen would be easier for folks. I'm not sure. Anyway, the bottom of the gondola is down here. I just wanted to orient you. You take the gondola up. That's the mid station. There's the top of the gondola where you have Adventure Peak activities. Over here is the California base, which we regulate now. You ride chairlifts up in the wintertime, and you get to the Sky Meadows area, which is here. So I just wanted to orient you to where things were. One important item, I think, that Andrew mentioned, this is, if you can kind of follow it, this is a trail. This is a multi-use trail proposed to wind up the mountain, pass through the East Peak area, and then connect to the Rim Trail. So it's a public trail open to equestrians, pedestrians, and bikes. And kind of jumping ahead to some of the comments we got, we did get comments regarding this from the California Tahoe Conservancy, as well as Nevada Department of Conservation. And they're concerned because it connects the current Van Sickle Bi-State Park, which has parking down in this area. They're concerned that it presents the opportunity for people to get on the gondola with their bikes, go up here, and then have a lift-assisted downhill mountain biking experience. So that would require them to get off the gondola at the top, ride over to East Peak, and then take about a 6 or 7 mile downhill trail, but it's actually developed as a cross-country trail. It does go downhill. So in order to address their concerns, we've been working in a meeting with the California Tahoe Conservancy in Nevada, trying to work out a plan for monitoring potential user conflicts, I think is the main thing, as well as some concerns about parking and restroom facilities at the Van Sickle Bi-State Park. So we will have a monitoring program to evaluate potential impacts and some triggers that trigger mitigation to reduce those impacts if they should occur. I just wanted to point that out now while you had a picture up there. So the Water Board, is the CEQA lead agency for this project. The Water Board, the Forest Service, and the TRPA have hired Haugi Brook Associates to prepare a joint environmental document. So we have an EIR, EIS, EIS. And that document was circulated last year for a 60-day public review period. It ended October 27th of last year. So, as I said, we intend to come in May and have you consider adopting the updated waste discharge requirements and the final EIR for the project. So that is what you might look forward to in May, and I'll have more information at that time. The agencies supporting it include TRPA and the Forest Service because it helps meet their recreational goals for their jurisdictions. But we also got letters of support from the U.S. EPA, the Tahoe Douglas Fire Protection District, the business community, the mountain biking and recreation advocates, schools, and private individuals. We also received letters of concern from certain entities, and as I discussed, the Van Sickle Bi-State Park already, so we're working with them to alleviate their concerns. We also got letters from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Nevada Conservation and Natural Resources District, and the Sierra Club. Their concerns were impacts to flora and fauna that include migratory birds, yellow-legged frogs, white-barked pines, and bears. So, again, we have certain mitigations built into the EIR to make sure that those potential impacts are less than significant. We also got a letter from Tahoe Douglas Fire Protection District with concerns over safety and emergency response procedures. So a plan is being developed to deal with that and make sure that people know where to go in case of a fire or something like that, be able to get people off the mountain and also, you know, comply with their needs in order to evacuate people. We also got letters from the Sierra Club and other private individuals that basically thought the project itself was inconsistent with the natural environment. They were particularly concerned with the Alpine Coaster and potential traffic and noise impacts. So we've worked and we will have a response to all their comments in the final EIR. There will be sufficient mitigation to make sure impacts are less than significant. In terms of water quality issues, as you may know, there is a TMDL for sediment in the Heavenly Valley Creek watershed. This really concerns the Sky Meadows area. We also have extensive monitoring that's been collected over the years by both the Forest Service and Heavenly Mountain Resort. There are three locations on Heavenly Valley Creek, including the Patsy's Lift, the Property Line, and the Sky Meadows area. And we also have a reference stream called Hidden Valley Creek, which serves as a check to, it's a relatively undisturbed creek system, and we use that to compare to the results of Heavenly Valley Creek and see if there's major differences. In looking at the water quality data, we summarized all that and evaluated the existing conditions in the EIR. That's all written up in there. And what we found was that the water quality parameters are generally pretty good. So they usually meet our objectives, not all the time, but most of the time. We also have stream condition inventory. This is done through Forest Service protocols to analyze channel conditions and make sure that things aren't unraveling, that the channel conditions are stable. We found that in Heavenly Valley Creek, they're good and in stable conditions. And then we also have quite a bit of benthic macroinvertebrate data that's been collected over the years. We looked at that, and in general, it's in good, the BMI health is good in the higher gradient streams, but it's poor in Sky Meadows, where it's a low gradient stream. It's part of a wetland, and there's a channel that runs through that, and there is some development in the area. And it appears that the bugs are, or the benthic macroinvertebrates, we call them bugs, are in poor health due to sedimentation. There's also some concerns that maybe temperature or other stressors are affecting it. So we're going to propose in the updated WDRs to collect data to address and track that situation. In terms of SEZ disturbance, that's stream environment zone, the Sky Meadows is, there's an SEZ in Sky Meadows, and there's a ropes course planned to be put in that area. However, the ropes course is going to be in the airspace above the SEZ. The project's been designed so that all access to the ropes course will be from an adjacent road that's outside of the SEZ, so there won't be any ground disturbance in that portion of the SEZ. There's also a total of 168 square feet of SEZ disturbance from zip line crossing. So they will be crossing certain drainages down the mountain. These are linear features that need to cross. So we'll be asking for an exemption for that. Primarily, the disturbance will come from maintenance trails where they have to have some way to, you know, maintain the zip line or rescue people or whatever comes up. Heavenly has done quite a bit of restoration on their mountain, and they have SEZ credits from mitigation that TRPA tracks. So the mitigation for the 168 square feet of disturbance will come out of their credits. In terms of erosion and sediment controls, the project's been designed to have barriers or access controls to make sure people don't go into sensitive areas and to keep indirect impacts to a minimum. As part of the identifying the poor conditions in Sky Meadows, we identified 23 additional hotspots in that area that are planned to be mitigated concurrent with the project development. So we think that that's going to reduce erosion, help conditions in Sky Meadows, and it'll be done concurrent with the project. It'll be written into the WDRs for your consideration. So in other words, those items will be into the proposed WDRs that we'll bring to you in May. We're also going to include a proposal to add additional stream channel substrate analysis to make sure that we can correlate the poor bug counts with sediment, or if there's some other stressor that we can identify and deal with it. So we will add some improved water quality monitoring and erosion control procedures proposed in the WDRs in May. And I think with that, I am done, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
All right, thank you.
No questions, thank you.
We do.
Moving on to item six, this is technically a consent.